Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott.
Hello.
Sean Priest.
Hello.
And Tim Schwartz.
Hello there.
Hey. Oh, welcome along once again to another Tech Talk. Yes, this is that technology program for blind and partially sighted people like us, like you, who like to dabble in the world of technology. You know, maybe dip your toes in the water, but not, you know, get totally drenched. Hello, welcome along to the programme once again. Sean and Tim are here. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. I can't believe you kicked off the show with an analogy.
Every time. You know what I'm like. Listen, we've got a new voice to the programme this week.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. I don't know who sanctioned this. It wasn't me. But, a new voice to the programme, and it is Producer Andy.
Hey!
Hello, Andy. Hey, Producer Andy.
This is my promotion, or demotion, maybe, I don't know. Yes.
Don't think it's a promotion.
No.
What have you done with Chris?
Tied up.
Best not to ask that question. But no, Chris is...
For legal
Chris
reasons, is, yes, please don't ask.
He's so busy, this guy. I mean, Chris is like the busiest guy on earth. He's a baby. He's got to look after the baby. Not during office hours, obviously. That'd be a bit weird. But, you know, he's got that to do. He's getting no sleep at all. And he's got to perform a full-time job. Whereas Andy, well, he does nothing.
Yes, that's true. He's got plenty of spare time.
Exactly. So it's all fine. It's all good. So Andy's here because, well, we want to get back into the emails, guys. We've got so many emails we want to be getting through. And we're going to be going back to some of the emails we've been getting just after Christmas and New Year. That's how far back we're going here.
Wow.
It's ridiculous, I know.
Should be ashamed of ourselves.
We should be, yes. But
we're not.
We're not really, no. Well, there's been so much going on. So, yeah, okay, we're going to get into the emails this week. So stick around for that. If you have sent an email in over the last couple of weeks and you thought, I haven't read my email, well, we will this hour, I promise you, on this week's Tech Talk. It's nice to be back, guys. You know, it is nice to be here. I mean, I know I say this every week.
It's nice to be anywhere.
It is nice to be anywhere, exactly. But yeah, it is nice to be here. We've got so many emails to get through. I just want to say, though, beforehand, and I know this actually comes up in one of the emails today, Andy, but mm-hmm. And we'll get to that in a minute, but I want to mention this. Siri and dictation. Is it just me?
Yes.
Yes.
This is my hashtag. Hang on. Let me ask the question first. Is it just me, or is it sometimes it just really screws up just to annoy us?
Well, I don't know about just to annoy us. Maybe just to annoy you, I could go with yes.
The reason I ask this is because this week, or today actually, I tried to send an email to my wife, and I said, I know, and this is where it all went wrong. So I was sending, it was a group email. A group text, I should say, group text. So sending this to someone else with my wife in the conversation. And it was someone who was picking my wife up later on that day.
Okay.
And I said to her, or the person who was picking up, I said, you know, once you pick my wife up, Marie, for whatever reason,
oh, no.
It got this as Betty. No.
But how? That's not similar at all.
Marie... Betty? I don't know. I don't know how it got Betty. But of course, what that then responded, Marie then responded with the question, so who's Betty?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of spurred this conversation. And I'm like, you know, I'm using dictation. You know how this works. Look, come on. You must have listened to one of these shows I do.
No.
And she's like, nah. So basically, I'm in a bit of trouble with my wife because she thinks I'm with someone called Betty.
You've got explaining to do.
Are you sure it just wasn't a slip of the tongue? You know, was it a Siri fault or was it you?
Well, if that was the case, that would mean that you would be suggesting that I am actually, you know, going with someone called Betty.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm always on the side of tech.
Of course you are. Yes, that's right.
Tech is never wrong.
Don't blame poor Siri.
I also want to blame on the blame game this week. In fact, do you know what? I think it's time to open the bottle. Yeah.
Oh. So,
while I'm here.
Is this for you?
Well, this is my weekly wine. Audio description, right? I know we go on about this all the time, but do you know what? It just infuriates me sometimes. Sit down at the weekend, wife and I, we're going to watch a movie. We buy a movie, it's on sale, that's why I bought it.
Of course.
And I know how to treat a lady.
See, with you, that part didn't need to be said. Yeah.
Here, Betty, I'll treat you. I'll buy you. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't buying it twice for her as well. I bought this movie called The Meg, which is basically a shark. It's like Jaws on steroids, right? Jason Statham's in it, exactly, that's right.
Hardly a chick flick.
No. I have to say, this was more of my kind of movie.
Yes.
We were going to watch it, so we put it on, and it said it had AD, had audio description on it, closed captioning, all that stuff, it reads it out. I bought it through the Apple TV, hit the play button, no audio description. Now, before you shout at me and say, bet you didn't have audio description turned on, bet your settings weren't right, I checked all that. Audio description's turned on the Apple TV. You've got the menu. If you've chosen to do the triple tap on the, I don't know what the buttons are, but the top left button.
Yeah.
I don't know what that button is, but I think it's the menu button.
Menu, well,
you double or triple hit that and it will come up with a menu. If you've asked, if you've got your settings set up to do this, it will bring up the accessibility menu, and in there is audio descriptions, and you have to make sure that's turned on. And then anything that's got audio description on it, it will play. So I thought, right, this should just be all I need to do. Tried a couple of times, didn't do it, fast-forwarded into the movie, thought maybe it's later. Because you know sometimes at the beginning they go quiet, and then sometimes it'll tell you, you know, the Warner Brothers logo or whatever it is.
That's right, yeah.
So they tell you at the beginning usually what you're looking at, and there was nothing. So fast-forward into the movie, zilch. So I thought, oh dear. Then I thought, maybe it's me. I'll allow myself to believe it's me for a second. So I'd actually bought another movie we'd forgotten about called Taken. I've been wanting to watch this movie for years. I mean, it's been out since 2008, Andy was telling me this morning. And this is the first time I've actually found a copy with audio description, or at least I hoped. So Taken was the other one in the list I'd bought. So I hit play on that. Lo and behold, it had audio description. Brilliant. So we were able to watch that. So we ended up watching that. We didn't watch The Meg. But it's really annoying. And I'm waiting for a response back from Apple. I don't think I'll ever hear from them, but I certainly sent a message in saying, look, guys, I also want a refund on it if I'm not going to get audio description on it.
Of course.
I want my $2.99 back because I'm cheap.
No, but you're absolutely right. It's just so annoying because, I mean, the choice is limited from the start anyway. So you go through each movie on there, and I've done through, and they have updated this, well, recently, as far as I'm concerned, because I don't look in there very often, but the audio description, to know if it had audio description, was always way at the bottom of all the, after the description and the director and everything. But now it's right at the top after the buy or rent button. It will tell you it's 4K, HDR, or if it's got audio description. I thought, great. But if it's not reliable, I mean, what's the point? That is so annoying and it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, definitely shouldn't happen if it's as advertised to have audio description, even if it was anything else, you know, whatever it is. If it says that it's supposed to have something or a feature, what, you know, whatever it is, a movie or anything else, you should get what you were thinking you were paying for. So, yeah, I think that's only fair to expect that.
I'm noticing this on Netflix as well. I've noticed things start appearing in the audio description category. But when you go to play them, so I just tend to live in that category. I just go in there, and they've kind of mucked around with it all. I mean, it's kind of difficult to know where you are. You go into the Netflix series list, and then in there you've got genres, and under the genre you've got audio description, and that's brilliant because what they've now done is they've actually put all of the movies and TV shows or whatever into categories, so you can look for thrillers and you can see what's got AD there. But it's not very reliable because there was one movie I wanted to watch called The Foreigner, I think it was called, and it was in the AD category, but when I played it, no audio description. And again, I made sure it was the settings were checked in case something, because I know sometimes in foreign language movies it changes, you know, because it'll change back to whatever language it is. So you have to check that. So I did, but again, nothing. And I think this is really weird. And it seems in some ways we move forward with Netflix and iTunes and all the rest, and then we fall right back. And I mean, you know, I have to say that the biggest offender here is Amazon Prime. I mean, Andy and I were talking about this earlier today. what was it, Grand Tour. And I said to you, I quite enjoy watching the Grand Tour, but yes. I didn't even know if it had audio description. You're saying it does.
Yeah, I checked the first three episodes of what we're on, season three, of the Grand Tour. So yeah, the two most recent ones, the Columbia specials, are just put on this website as audio described. But you were saying that a previous series didn't have them on there.
Or at least I didn't think it did.
The first one definitely didn't, because I checked, because I was a fan of Top Gear and everything. So as soon as it came on, I checked, and there was definitely no AD on the first one.
Well, and that's the thing that happens on Netflix all the time. I've never encountered a movie that said it had it and then ended up not having it. But TV shows all the time, especially if they're network shows that Netflix has brought to, you know, the service, the first season, maybe first couple seasons don't have AD, but then later on they got AD and they have that. So they still put it in the AD category, which I get it. I understand why they would still do it, because some other, you know, episodes are described, but sometimes not all, and that can be confusing. So I don't know if there's a better way to do that or not.
Well, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag on something that I maybe shouldn't say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Oof. I don't think what I'm doing is wrong.
Goodbye.
So I'm just going to say it. Yeah. If this is my last show, then so be it. But this is what I've done. So I set up a VPN, because I've always been interested in this VPN thing, and I actually think... No, and I did, because...
Careful.
Am I giving away the secrets here? But actually, I do think we should talk about this a bit, because it's not an illegal thing to do. Essentially, it's a way to hide your identity or hide yourself from searches online and you know, companies tracking you. If you're concerned about all of that kind of thing, then a VPN's not a bad thing to have.
Especially if you're on a public Wi-Fi.
Exactly, yeah, because then you can't be hacked as easily or caught up in all of that. So it's got benefits to it. It's not something I've ever really got too into, but I started trying it out for one particular reason, because I'm a huge American politics geek and I just wanted to watch MSNBC, right? That's all I wanted to do.
Boring.
I know, I'm pretty boring.
Sometimes I think it's the only reason he keeps me around, so we can talk about American politics.
Well, no, it's not the only reason.
Oh, thank you.
It's the main one. Yeah.
Yes.
But no, so I decided I wanted to do this. So I thought, well, maybe this is a way for me to be able to watch news channels, like if I wanted to watch Fox News, but I don't. But if I did, or MSNBC or CNN's US channel. So that's all good. But what I did was I'd set it up on an iPad so that I could watch, you know, that's my US iPad. And that was all good. And then I went into Netflix. Kind of by accident, or not by accident, but I'd gone into Netflix to watch something, but I noticed a lot of the options were different. Because obviously, it thinks it's in the States. So it's showing me what's in the US catalogue. Mm-hmm. And I was finding shows in there that had been broadcast here without AD, that had AD on them in the States.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what?
I know. It's so infuriating. And I think we should just say, so a VPN... Yes, it is for security, and it is very much more secure. But what it basically does is connects whatever device you're using to another computer, encrypts all the traffic between that. There's your security. But also, that computer can be anywhere in the world. So it looks like you're in America, in Stephen's case. So every website you go to thinks that you're in the US. So that's why you're seeing the USA version of Netflix. And
that's right,
sometimes that's a bonus, because you get newer content.
Not sure what Netflix think about that.
No, they're not keen. They have clamped
down. I'll add in here that it's using VPNs are legal, but using VPNs for Netflix does breach their terms of service, apparently, from this site that I'm
And it's been lovely watching Netflix. Clearly,
so anyone from Netflix is listening.
Which I did tell Stephen at the time.
But you know, in fairness, I didn't really have any reason, because to be honest, I didn't think there was any difference. I thought, well, what's the difference between one and the other? I didn't realize there was a gulf of difference with the content that's on there. Now, I assume that a lot of the content that's appearing on the US version will eventually make its way to the UK. I hope that's the case. So that would be great, because a lot of these shows I would want to watch, I don't watch them on VPN, if I'm honest. I just don't. Because I'm too busy watching my news channels. But it is interesting, because in one particular series, Derry Girls, which was on Channel 4 in the UK, it's available on US Netflix with audio description.
Yeah.
And the audio describer's Irish, which is kind of nice. So that's what Netflix do. They kind of match the voice to the programme. And I don't know if that's done in the UK or where it's done, but it does fascinate me that this kind of... To me, it's just... On that particular point... we shouldn't be seeing Derry Girls on Netflix. I shouldn't be watching that there because, you know, that's in the US version. So that's not in my catalogue in the UK.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. However, what's not fine is if that show appears in the UK library and doesn't have audio description. That's not okay. Because why should someone in the US be able to watch it? Why should Tim be able to watch it? I don't think you will, but if you were going to watch that particular show, why should you be able to watch it with AD and I can't? And that's the thing that annoys all of us about audio description. It's not the programme. I'm not really interested in programmes and all that nonsense, but what I am interested in is the audio description being available when I want to watch it on whatever device I choose. That was a little insight for me into what was out there elsewhere and is not available here, and it just kind of annoyed me a bit. So anyway, that's that aside.
Calm down. So everything's
right,
okay,
I'm
good.
Fine now.
Fine.
I'm fine.
But you're right.
We've got Netflix on line one. If you want to explain your actions,
we're very, very sorry.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. I'll never do it again. I probably won't actually, because
but fix
I'll be
the
honest.
Audio description, because that is infuriating.
But you know, in all honesty, I don't know if you would watch Netflix on a VPN. I don't know if you could watch. I mean, TV channels are one thing, but I don't know if you'd be able to watch.
VPNs
it.
Can be slower, obviously, because it's extra traffic, yeah. So it can be slower. So, yeah.
So don't do it, because you'll destroy everything.
But it does, no, look, it brings back the argument of, can you ever justify piracy because you're chasing audio description? If it isn't available in your country, but it's available somewhere else, then are we justified to find that? Of course, legally, no, you're not. But people do it, we know. And
if Netflix, or someone was to come up with, and I know that there have been versions of this along the years, but they've all been illegal, audio channels where you can listen to programs with audio description.
Yep.
I'd love someone to just do that for TV with audio description, because I actually wonder if that would work in the mainstream. In the way that audiobooks work, you know, Audible essentially could do this. You could have TV shows with audio description you could just listen to. So people in their car could catch up with an episode or something. I don't know. Is that a thing? I mean, you get audio drama.
It makes sense. It is just like an audiobook. The way I listen to Netflix, you know, I'm not watching the screen sometimes. I'm just got the phone on and I'm listening to it because it is just like an audiobook.
Could work. Anyway, we'll leave that one out there.
Start that project immediately, Tim.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
What are you doing this afternoon? Nothing. Right, okay, let's get to the emails then, shall we? I think it's time.
Email, we get email, we get your email every day.
Ding dong.
Here's your mail today.
Right, let's get into the emails then, Andy.
Right, the first one is from Betty. Oh no, sorry, hang on. delete that one.
Next one's from Netflix.
Right, yeah. Lots of love. Right, okay, this first one is from Keith Waters.
Hey, Keith
says, hi all, just a quick comment about what you were saying about Apple getting in league with Samsung TVs. A word of warning, I've had two Samsung TVs which came with apps, but after about 2 years, Samsung just took them away. I'm not saying it would happen with Apple, but the question should be asked before splashing the cash. Keep up the good work from Keith.
Thank you, Keith. That's an interesting point. I mean, there's always arguments about how well supported the smart side of smart TVs are. But I'm surprised by that. When you say they disappeared, or they were taken away, I don't actually get that. But Stephen, you're more into your smart TVs. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I think what Keith's referring to, you do get apps that will occasionally just, you know, appear and disappear. I don't know if that's the case with something like an Apple iTunes app, because with that, you're purchasing content. I think these apps that turn up that maybe have a stream in them, or, you know, maybe have a couple of free, you know, bits of content to watch, they could disappear. You can understand that, because they're not really, you know, some of them will be trials, or, you know, they'll see how it goes and then they'll just decide not to do that kind of thing anymore and they'll pull the app. I don't know if that would happen with Apple. I don't know. I mean, who knows? But I think with something like this, it seems as if, anyway, Apple are trying to branch out and get away from just being, you know, on their own devices. I think they've realised that the only way they're ever going to grow their content service, which is really what they're going to be selling here, not so much iTunes, but their new content service, whatever that will look like, they need to get it onto more platforms. And Samsung seems like an obvious choice.
And this could be just as much of developers, third-party developers, no longer continuing to update an app or pulling an app from Samsung's TVs, or it could be Samsung has contractual agreements with some of these app developers and they just run out. Again, I don't see that happening with Apple. Like you said, Stephen, I think Apple is all in on getting that content out to everyone, especially when this new entertainment service comes to light, and they're going to want it everywhere. So I don't know that I would see Samsung pulling it. I don't see Apple pulling it. If it's a contractual thing, maybe that runs out, but I don't see that happening. At least I hope it doesn't.
Well, yeah. I suppose it only shuts down, if they did. And the argument also is, well, what if Samsung brings out a service like iTunes and they, are they going to run it side by side?
Well, so that's a good point.
They could always push Apple away. It's not always just Apple's decision. But at the end of the day, it's always, well, there's another way to do that. It's still going to have AirPlay 2 support. So you can still stream to it. You can still connect your Apple TV to it. So I don't actually think it's the end of the world that if Apple's iTunes or access to its movies and content disappears from it. But it is something, I think Keith's absolutely right. It's something to be aware of. We don't seem to own anything for very long. It's always, it can disappear at any minute, but I think that's for any app or any movie or any music that we own anyway.
I also worry about accessibility on this. With my Apple TV, despite my issues I had with that particular movie, the whole system is accessible. I did all that without really looking at the screen at all, which I love. I love the fact that I can use my Apple TV. I can go and I can purchase a movie. I can watch the movie. And that's it, and it's got audio description on it, and the menus are accessible. Whereas I don't get all of that with Samsung. I get some of it, in the sense that I can navigate to find the app, but then I need to have sight to use the app. That bothers me. I don't think that'll be the case with Samsung, but is that going to encourage a blind person to make the move and go and buy that kind of TV? My thing was, as you know, I spent a lot of money on a not smart TV. I bought a dumb TV, and I was happy with my dumb TV because it's a great picture. And I plug in my Apple TV to it, and it's great. It's fully accessible. What's not to like?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's one to watch, Keith, and I think it's a good point. You're going to spend a lot of money on a new TV. But I think it's a risky take, that could be the case with any of them, really.
It's the digital age. You don't physically own anything, and they can take it away at any time. If a service goes down, it's gone. And, it's a fair point.
Okay, good question to kick things off. Right, okay, what else is in the bucket or email inbox?
We're all slightly depressed now, aren't we? Oh, no.
No,
we want to go back to DVDs.
I can cheer you up with an email from Charlotte. She says, hello again and a happy new year.
Oh, hello.
She says, yes, I took your advice and I bought a Dot. It cost all of $24.99.
Yes. Sean's advice.
Oh, bargain.
She does mention Sean, yeah. After listening to the latest tech talk, it was just as well it didn't arrive in time for Christmas. Ours arrived last Monday and was up and running, or rather, talking very quickly. I haven't subscribed to any of the Amazon schemes, but even so, it is proving useful, and with such high quality sound, it is worth the money just for the radio.
Oh, I'm so relieved. I was really tense there for a minute.
When I contacted you before, I mentioned the odd behaviour of the internet here, and Sean suggested things to do about this. As a result, we now have a much faster broadband for much of the same cost. Our provider maintained the internet vanishing for long periods of time wasn't anything to do with them. More likely, it had to do with the box of buzzing wasps down the street. However,
yeah, that sounds about right.
And I type this with much trepidation, the internet has behaved itself since the upgrade.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Good.
A few episodes ago, you mentioned apps which would control kitchen appliances. During the holidays, we were in a certain large electric and computer retailer's shop in Dumfries, my husband doing all he could to stop me spending money. He was a bit jittery because I wanted to look at the washing machines, and there they were, the washing machines that could be controlled by apps. Seeing me prodding about the doors, dials and the like, an extremely helpful young assistant appeared. Not from the washing machine, I hope. He came from a back room.
Hologram.
Yeah. He appeared and confirmed that certainly various washing machines from a range of manufacturers could be operated by apps. Mind you, he said, it's a bit of a gimmick that. What's the point of activating your washing machine from the bus? In response, I pointed at Charlie, my guide dog, and then tapped my shoulder bag. As long as the app worked with voiceover on my phone, I said, it would be great for folk like me. No need to memorise how many twists of a dial for a particular programme. No more washing machine disasters. Every time someone walks in here with either a guide dog or a white stick, you should tell him about these, she says. A long pause, and then he said, you know, I'd never thought about that. I understand exactly what you mean.
Well done.
Wonderful.
Isn't that what you all on Tech Talk are always saying? The general public doesn't think about how we access gadgets and machines. And finally, a wee conundrum, she says, for all of you to mull over. Often I use Siri to make a call on my iPhone. I also use Siri to compose and send text messages. Nope. The spelling in texts composed to Siri's help and can be a bit odd, but they are usually understandable. However, when I use Siri to send a text to my husband's iPhone, it never arrives. I can phone his iPhone using Siri, no problem, but texts just vanish. Any explanations?
Well, no. I have had this happen with the watch before. I had this strange thing with the Apple Watch where you would ask it to reply. So you get a message through, right? And you would say, I'll reply to this. And then it would just say, okay, I'll send it.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, does that mean you've sent it?
Yes, it's confusing.
I don't know what it's doing.
I've got that. Because you're looking for a send button. There's a cancel button or a dismiss button, but no send. I'll send it in a minute. Okay, take your time. But no, you know what? That I can't think of any reason for that off the top of my head.
I'm thinking through that. Definitely is a conundrum, as she says, because I could understand if it was a connectivity thing, if you lost connectivity somewhere, you're between cell towers or something like that. But just, you know, just the messages that she's sending to her husband to be lost or not go through, especially when using Siri. Yeah, I don't know of a setting or a feature or a bug. I'm not aware of anything that would cause that.
Could it be that your husband, Charlotte, isn't on iMessage? Would that matter?
She also says, is this just a ploy to avoid doing any extra shopping texted?
I was going to say, has he got you blocked?
As he's blocked iMessages, yeah.
P.S. pick up milk, and he's just delete that.
It's a good point, though. I mean, because there are some conflicts there between what is sent as an SMS or an old-fashioned text message and what's sent as an iMessage. But usually you would get message failed to send notification. I don't know if Charlotte's...
But would that be in the Messages app, not on Siri? Siri wouldn't say that, would it?
No, you would get a notification afterwards anyway.
Correct.
You would get a notification.
Not that it would matter, but what I'd be interested to know is if he does have an iPhone, an iMessage, can he dictate a message to her and she receive it? Can it go back the other way? Because if it's only one way, maybe it's, I don't know that it would be something with her phone, but I don't know.
I think a trip to the Apple Store sounds like a good idea.
It's always
a
good idea.
It doesn't resolve itself.
Depending on how brave you are, I would, like Stephen suggested, I would go through your iMessage settings or maybe just double check. I mean, are the emails to him going through okay? Is the email address in your contacts list correct and matching up with his iMessage account or Apple ID? But again,
see the fact she can call.
Well, that's the
phone
number.
Charlotte can call her
the phone number.
But then that would apply. The text should then just work. I mean, if the number's right, then
the text should go through. Yes, I can't understand why that would, but you can choose whether you have your phone number or your email, I think, attached to your iMessage.
That's a point. Yeah, that's a
so
point.
So I would check that.
So it could be something to do with that. This is the problem with this. It's so, in some ways, iMessage is overly complicated.
I don't fully understand it, to be honest. I'll be totally honest with you. It is confusing.
Interesting. Very interesting emails today. And the point about the dot as well. I mean, yep, excellent. Good to know that's working. What was the point? There was a point in the middle I wanted to go to, Charlotte mentioned.
Washing machines.
App-controlled machines.
Washing machines. Now, this is something you're looking into, Tim. Or was it? What was it you bought and you said you were going to buy, didn't buy? Or something you were buying that was remote controlled or app-controlled.
He missed out.
I remember you telling me.
I missed out because we purchased the dishwasher 1 week and then about a couple of weeks later I found out that that same manufacturer, Bosch, has dishwashers that use the app, and the particular dishwasher that we purchased does not connect to the app, unfortunately.
Oh, take it back. Dear. Rubbish.
What are we like? We are the hosts of Tech Talk, the world's most famous technology program for blind people.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. For legal reasons. And Don't trademark that. And you know, I managed to buy the most dumbest TV on earth, and you bought the only washing machine or dishwasher in town that wasn't smart. What is wrong with us? Honestly.
We're cheap. That's what we are.
We're cheap.
But Charlotte, you did a fantastic thing there. It is about, you know, opening up people's minds too. It's not just a case of, you know, doing it and being lazy. This isn't about people being lazy and being able to do it from the bus or whatever. So I think the more you spread the message, great, because he will pass that on and think about it maybe. But other than that, these apps and this connectivity and accessibility is great. But of course, is the app accessible? That's another point. If it's smart speaker enabled as well, then everything's good. But is the app itself going to be accessible? So that's something else to think about.
Yeah. You've also got the issue that not all of the functions will sometimes
that's
be
true.
Available through apps. Or maybe not so much through apps, but certainly through smart speakers. I mean, like my heating, for example, Hive heating is what I've got in the house. And you can turn it on, you can turn it on or off, you can set the temperature, and that's kind of it. But I wouldn't be able to set the schedule on it.
No, or, you know, I've got the Nest, and it's not accessible on the app to set a schedule.
Mm.
You can't do it, and you can't do it through the smart speaker either. It's exactly the same as you. On, off, or set the temperature, and that's it. It would be nice to say turn it on for an hour, but it's just not there at the minute.
That's right, and it's the same with this. In fact, actually, the Hive app has been updated recently, and it's a bit infuriating. When you're trying to change temperature, you sort of tap on to what I think is some kind of turning thing on the screen. It just sort of swipes. You swipe up and you should just swipe up and down, and it changes the temperature. But instead, it keeps jumping focus all over the place. So you have to kind of tap on it, settle. Now, you know, go, and you get maybe 2 degrees,
yeah.
And then it jumps off somewhere else. But yeah, interesting stuff. And yeah, great point you make about Charlotte, about, you know, telling people about this in stores, because yeah, people don't get it. There's a thing in the news, it wasn't in the news, but it was on social media. There was a woman who had been using her mobile phone, you know, whilst daring to be visually impaired at the same time, and she was getting all kinds of abuse online about it because she was visually impaired and using a phone. So she's clearly
faker.
Yeah,
yeah, we've all had that.
On. Come on, really?
Are we not past that yet?
Well, we're not. No, we're no. I don't think we're. I have to say, I'm quite depressive about this kind of thing. I don't think we're anywhere near close to the public understanding. I mean,
no.
I mentioned this on the Daily Connect a few weeks back, and I'll say it again here for those who didn't hear me say it. But I was in a taxi, and the driver was obsessed with my vision and, you know, amount of it or lack of it. And he was
we've all been there, yeah.
And he's you know, going on and on and on. And I'm just like, I want to change the subject. So I started talking about Brexit because I thought that'll get us off the topic.
God, frying pan fire springs to mind.
Right.
Well, all I said was, you know, I said, oh, Brexit, whatever I said about it, I wouldn't say it on here because I'll probably end up getting emails about it. I don't want to talk about Brexit. But the point was, I just wanted to get off the topic of discussion of sight loss. So I brought up the subject of Brexit. I'm talking about it. I'm maybe 5 minutes into the conversation and I'm like, you know, this is my thoughts and it, blah, blah, blah. And he turns around and he says to me, quite intelligent, aren't you? Did you go to school?
Wow.
Oh, jeez.
This is why. This is why I, you know what, when I hear someone saying, oh, yeah, it's all a gimmick and why would blind people do it? Or, you know, I hear a blind person be verbally abused or criticised on Facebook and Twitter because they happen to use a phone. It doesn't surprise me, and it should surprise me, but it just doesn't. It's just,
yeah,
it's the world
it is depressing.
In, you know?
And I am, I'll admit this, and this is slightly embarrassing, but sometimes I do, I turn my screen curtain on if I'm on the tram or public transport and I'm flicking through the phone. Just because, you know, you think, well, people are thinking, hang on, you're using a stick, but you're using your phone. And if the screen's off, then people tend to think, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. The phone's not on and it's broken.
It's a kid
I've
on
done
phone.
The same thing, and I've had people say, excuse me, sir, you realize your phone's not on,
yes,
right? Well, you're flicking around and nothing's probably happening because it's not on. I'm like, no, it's on.
Honestly. Well, hopefully the show might change a few opinions, but I know we preach to the choir every week, and I know everyone that listens is sort of nodding along going, yeah, we know. But, you know, it's so frustrating. It really is at times. Anyway, Charlotte, thanks for the email, and hope your guide dog is well. Hope your husband's well, after getting clearly no texts from you for several
last
months.
Last on the list, as ever, the husband.
Oh, it's always the same, isn't it? Right, what else have you got, Andy?
Email from John says, hello, Stephen and the gang. I have just read an article on Google News concerning a new TV antenna called the TV Fix. Apparently, this antenna receives the lower frequencies that TV providers are use, thereby giving 85% of channels to listen to free of charge. So why pay for the high cost of cable when you can use this device? Wonder if you could look into this. It does state that it is legal to do it, and he thinks the antenna costs £45. Very interesting podcast last week. Wonder how you convert your music to the higher FLAC. Also very interested in the new Alexa-based washing machine that Sharp have just bought out. Lots happening.
You said it. You can't say that word.
You can't say the word.
Oh. I didn't say it.
That's it. Thank you. Come back, Chris.
I didn't tell her to do anything, though, so...
I know, but you said the word. That's it. You've cast...
Lady A.
All these... Lady A, exactly.
That's better.
He'll learn. He's new. I think... we've had a look into this one, John, right? We've looked into this for you. And I'll be honest... We haven't come up with good results, and that's maybe the best way I can say it.
It might be a bit of fake news.
I don't know where this has come from, but it is. There are people online who are talking about it, saying that they're less than impressed with the results, and also
it doesn't seem to work.
I was going to say that implies there's results. Yeah, they're not getting any results.
It's like I'm getting nothing from this. I don't know what this is. I mean, I've worked in broadcasting a long time. I don't pretend to know anything about transmission because that's a whole other ball game. But I will say that I think what you... It depends. I don't know what your application is here. But if your plan is to listen to Freeview channels, free-to-air TV, then the simplest way to do that is get yourself a cheap Freeview box. Make sure it's Freeview branded. That's free-to-air, right? So the box itself is free-to-air. Plug in an aerial to it, any old aerial from Argos or Currys or wherever, and that should be you. You know, that would give you enough. And what you could do with that is either hook it up to an amplifier, or you could get usually these boxes, and it's maybe worth checking, but you get these boxes that have the RCA outputs, you know, the little red and white jack out the back.
HDMI to RCA conversion.
That's another way to do it. But basically, you could even get it so that you could have the output, you know, get a little adapter that will send it to a 3.5mm headphone jack. And you could just plug in your headphones to it and listen to the TV. Or, you know, as I say, hook up to speakers. There's other ways to do, I think, what you're trying to do.
Well, I don't know. By the sound of it, and going off what this it says about this aerial, is that it's a way to access paid-for TV channels for free. Because the TV broadcasters need to broadcast two channels, according to the website for this aerial. And this aerial is able to pick up one of the transmissions for free. But apparently, it's not getting great results. So we haven't tested it ourselves. So I will look into this a bit more because it is interesting. But from the little research we have done, it's not looking great on this.
No, as I say, I think what you might be looking for is a solution to something that might be a bit easier to achieve. Just by going what you're saying, John, it sounds like you might want to just listen to TV rather than having to have a picture.
Yeah. In which case, this isn't needed.
No, you don't need that. No. And I would look into other options. That would be my advice. That's the best way I can say it without getting myself into all kinds of trouble. although, what's new? Anyway, good luck with it, John. Let me know how you got on. And if you have any other questions, then please do get in touch because we can look into this further for you. Right, Andy.
We still have the FLAC.
The FLAC thing, yeah.
Higher FLAC, yeah.
This was this is actually all someone else's fault because I, as you know, I'm a bit of an audiophile. I like my audio quality to be a certain standard, and FLAC is basically the...
Snob.
I am. I don't care.
I was waiting for a big reaction then. Nothing. He just admitted it. That's
really
fine.
Expecting something
no,
more.
No, no, no. Look, that is what I am, right? Okay, I'm an audio snob.
Hello, he's an audio snob.
I don't care. I'm proud of that. But yeah, I just use... I actually now use Windows Media Player, if I'm honest. It's the easiest. Or iTunes, which is... iTunes is more awkward because it doesn't support FLAC. It has its own version called ALAC. And either or are fine. I was trying some other third-party ones, but I ended up going down the route of iTunes, truthfully, because you get better album information through it most of the time. And once you've got the ALAC files, they aren't compressed. They're uncompressed audio files, but the difference between it, say, and a WAV file is that a FLAC file or an ALAC file can contain metadata, which means it can hold album art and track information, whereas WAV doesn't allow you to do that. I would normally prefer WAV because it's the full uncompressed, you know, sound, but you know, you got to compromise somewhere. Even me. So
so you just throw a CD in, and it there's an option just to rip it to
ALAC, yeah, Apple Lossless format. Codec. Yeah, so you Apple Lossless Audio Codec is what that stands for. You can set that up in iTunes, and you can also set the CD ripper, or iTunes in this case, just to sort of auto-rip. As soon as you put the CD in, it'll just start ripping it, it'll gather all the metadata, and away you go. There's also a program I use which is not the most accessible in the world, but it is there. There may be others, but I haven't found them, called TuneUp. That's the one I use, TuneUp, which kind of takes the data from iTunes and it kind of just adds extra metadata as it finds it. So it kind of bulks up on your metadata. So if you think that the album art's wrong, you can change it. You can, you know, choose from other album art if you're into all that. So yeah, that's how I do it.
I'm sure we'll get hundreds of recommendations now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, Andy, what else?
Message from Tony. He says, "Hi, team. Happy New Year. Hope you can help. I downloaded Skype 8 and the updates all were working well for 1 week. Now I cannot make or receive any calls on the keyboard. My PA can use the mouse, no trouble. Can I use the mouse keys on the keyboard? I did try, but no success." That's from Tony.
The old Skype problem again. I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't use Skype very often anymore. But with the latest update, I found it to be far more accessible, as in when a call's coming in, the focus jumps directly to decline or answer, the box, the dialogue box that comes up, and I simply tab between them. I haven't found the shortcut key. It used to be Alt page up and page down to answer and hang up. Now, I haven't managed to get that working yet. I don't know if that's due to come in or is already in. Tim, do you know?
My understanding was that was already in. So if you just have Skype 8, look and see if you're not yet upgraded to 8 point whatever. I'm not sure quite what the build number is right now as of this airing, but 8 point something should be available, and that should allow for other keyboard shortcuts. It still doesn't allow the easiest accessibility to the menu, file, edit, view, etc. You still have to just, you know, hit Alt F or Alt whatever and know that that's what it is. Alt by itself still doesn't bring up that menu, but they have added shortcuts for your different buttons. So to answer a call, I want to say just Alt A works now, something like that. But I don't want to swear to that. The last couple times I've used Skype, I do remember it saying the shortcut as I tabbed to the button. I just don't recall what it was. So it should be there.
That would be there because the focus was on the dialog box anyway.
It told me what it was, right? But I have tried it without the focus on it. When I did try the shortcut, I just can't remember what its shortcut is. But but I did try it at the time, and it did work to answer and hang up a call. So if you're just at build 8, look and see if you've got an upgrade available. That might be enough to fix it. Otherwise, it's back to the just tab around the screen.
But this is nonsense, really. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, look, I will praise Microsoft, and I'll praise any company that puts a lot of work into accessibility. And you know what? I think Microsoft have. Truthfully, I think this is simply a case of there are a lot of people working across Microsoft. I'm not making excuses for them because I don't work for them. But I do think that there's a lot of people who obviously work on these teams to make these programs accessible. It's not just one guy figuring all this out or one team.
It should be.
Well, it would be easier because at least you'd then have one point of contact. What I will say is, this might be good to know, Tony, that you can contact Microsoft via Be My Eyes through the app. So if you've got the Be My Eyes app, you can go there through specialized help and you can contact Microsoft directly. They can see your screen. They can, you know, talk you through any problems. They might be able to recommend something that we don't know about, and they may be able to help you get to the upgrade that you need to get to. I think that is probably invaluable. But it does annoy me that, you know, you've got these programs and, you know, in 2019, answering a call is a nightmare. I mean, come on. Well, so, you know, that's got to get fixed.
More broadly, we do know from Twitter that Microsoft does occasionally listen to the show. So if they are listening this week, let us know what we're missing, or fix it, yes.
Well, luckily enough, with all that waffling on that you've just done, I was able to look it up. And I can tell you it's Control Shift and the letter P for pick up the phone. So that's Control-Shift-P to answer a call. To end a call is Control and the letter E for end. So that's not too bad. Look, it's changed from what we're used to from the Skype desktop classic, and it's always a bit annoying and frustrating at first, but they are seemingly putting the work in there. So, yes, we can now call each other and answer it nice and easy. Well, I hope so anyway.
It's always funny when you make a Skype call to another blind person, because the other blind person always wants to call you so that they don't have to go through the hassle of answering.
I know.
And I'm like, no, I call 14, you!
14 missed calls before you find the accept button.
Yeah, the last call I got from somebody took me 3 times before I finally was able to answer the call.
Of course, the best thing is now you can call through the Amazon Echo, through Lady A.
Or the worst, when you've got a million of them in your house and they're all ringing with your computer and your phone and your iPad, and they're all going off 3 times and you still can't answer the phone.
I know, but everyone can hear who's calling, so, you know.
I know.
When Betty calls, everyone
knows. When Betty calls.
I love that song.
When Betty calls.
But, I mean, I will say this, at least with it you can answer.
Yes.
You know, so there's an upside to it. And that might be something to think about. It depends what you're using it for. If it's just for contacting friends and family, that might work quite well, actually, if you've got one of those. Anyway, let us know how you got on. We'll, you know, if Microsoft are listening, great. Tell us how to solve this problem if there is a fix to it. I would imagine there is. He says, hopefully.
Our listeners will know.
Yeah, of course they do. Right, what else? What else?
Dear Tech Talk team, this is an email from Gordon. Can you help with this? There is an app called Pages on my iPhone. I think it's one of Apple's built-in apps, which allegedly works like a word processing package. However, although I have been able to create a document, going back in and editing it is proving to be a nightmare. Navigation using VoiceOver simply doesn't seem to work. Whether I try moving through the text in character, word, or line mode, it jumps around all over the place. And even when I think I've got it to the right point, when I touch the screen, the cursor has jumped to a different point entirely. Do you know of an easy way to edit documents in the Pages app while using VoiceOver? This is one of, or is this one of Apple's accessibility features, or is it just me? Thank you, says Gordon.
I'll take this one, guys. I'm just going to pull up my sleeves for this one.
Well done. I'll sit back.
I'm ready for this.
All right.
No, it's terrible. So that's that.
There you go. moving on.
Here's the thing. I have had the same issue. I've tried Pages, and I'll be honest, I've tried Word as well on the phone and also on the iPad, and using the screen is difficult. It really is difficult to do it because you're right, the focus jumps all over the place. The only way I've managed to achieve it is with a Bluetooth keyboard. It's the only way I can get it to do anything. Even that's not perfect, but it's better. I will say I don't think I could safely use or comfortably use a word processing document program on my phone. I'm not there yet with it. I don't feel comfortable enough. I don't feel that I've got enough control over the document. And, you know, because the focus shifts, I mean, let's say, for example, you eventually find the elusive bit of the screen and you get the focus there, you get a message. And it just grabs the focus away to there, and you'll got to find it all again. That's not great. And this is where I find people talk about these devices as brilliant productivity devices. If you can see fully, yes. I think for us, there are issues that we need to work around. You don't get this issue so much with using a laptop or whatever else. So if I was doing a document, I'd be using a Mac or a PC, if I'm honest. But truthfully, if you want to use it, if you are wanting to persevere with it, a Bluetooth keyboard is the best way.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I think this is a case of the accessibility is there technically, but from a usability point of view, it's just a nightmare.
Exactly. It's usability versus accessibility again. It's back to that old story.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think it's a case of you need to double tap on the page itself to go into sort of the text entry mode. And then if you move out of there by doing a gesture and touching somewhere else, the focus will jump. I don't use it myself. I find it frustrating.
You don't need to even do it. Sometimes you don't even need to do that. Sometimes you can just be, you know, in...
Sneeze.
You know, exactly. That's it. You just... Something comes up on the screen, like a message or a notification, and that's usually what screws everything up, because it will jump focus to that, which is what you want it to do.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. It's not able to jump back.
Yeah. I'm wondering, is there anything you need specifically a word processor to do on your iPhone? You know, is there any special features there? Because there are other options to take notes, for example. Isn't there an app called Access Note or something like that, which is a fairly basic app that can, you know, just for writing text, even if it's long text, it's just slightly easier. I'm just wondering why you're specifically wanting to use Pages.
Well, Pages does offer a lot of advanced features like Microsoft Word, so it could be that Gordon's looking to use those more advanced features. But you're right, if it's just a matter of taking notes, I mean, the Notes app on iOS isn't horrible, but you may still have the same issue. Like you said, John,
well,
I think
don't even
more,
get me started on that.
Yeah.
It's not great.
More often than not, I think it is a matter of losing focus in the actual body of the note or the pages. So getting, you know, double tapping into that area so that you can start typing. Same thing with an email, you know, the body of an email or the subject line. If you get popped out of there, and even if you're on doing words or characters, you will go all over the place.
That's right.
That said, yeah. you mentioned Word. I've started using Microsoft OneNote on my phone because I can automatically sync those notes with my PC. So if I start typing a note on my iPhone on OneNote, I go to my computer, that same note is automatically there. OneNote is actually available through a third-party skill on Amazon, so you can do or Amazon Echo, so you can dictate them that way. So OneNote has seemed to work for me a little bit, but then there are apps like Evernote that you can take notes with. Evernote is very accessible as far as that goes. And then there is VoiceDream Writer. There's Reader and Writer.
That's
the VoiceDream Writer is extraordinarily accessible. It's actually developed on purpose to be accessible for blind and visually impaired people with VoiceOver. So that's another one as well. Now, that one's not free. It does have a cost. But if you're wanting the guarantee accessibility in a note-taking app of some kind, that'd probably be the one to go with.
You know, someone said to me about you, Tim, that, you know, you don't say much, but when you do say it, you know, it is really worth hearing. Honestly, you come up with some amazing
answers. I appreciate
that. Honestly, you do. You come up with amazing answers to questions sometimes. And like, where did you get this stuff from? That I didn't even know VoiceDream Writer existed. I am downloading that tonight. That is brilliant.
Yeah, VoiceDream Reader is amazing because not only can you read text with it, text documents, but it'll actually play MP3s, music files. I do that through Dropbox all the time. Yeah. File MP3 files that we share, I pull them up in there so you can speed them up or slow them down and then read text documents. But then Writer, VoiceDream Writer, is just as amazing for writing documents. It's so accessible. You can download a multitude of different voices for it, so you can get different voices outside of your voiceover voices. So, yeah. Really nice apps. I think they make a mail app as well.
All right, Tim, that's enough.
Right, calm down.
Showing us up.
Now I'm just showing off. I know, I'm sorry. I won't say
right,
anything
let's,
more.
Let's go on to, I hope that helps, Gordon. I think it will. I think it's going to help all of us, actually. Let's get another email.
This one's from Alan. He says, hello all. I came across Tech Talk on Connect Radio today for the first time. What have I been missing for all these years?
Nothing.
Good or bad?
Be glad to know that he ended that sentence with an exclamation mark. It wasn't a question mark. He wasn't wanting to know what he's been missing.
Yeah.
Rundown. Your episode today on phones, screen readers and narrator was great and reflects my own real-world concerns and needs. Just great. He says he's totally blind and used to be a lecturer in software engineering, so he has a real tech bias.
Wow.
I use an iPhone and Windows PC as my access to the world, and I couldn't live without them. And I found your insights interesting, particularly about Narrator, which I will have a much closer look at now. It was pretty useless the last time I looked a couple of years ago, he says.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
However,
changed a lot.
Yes. However, when I really wanted to put out there is that even in 2019, companies are creating products that are inherently inaccessible. Yeah, I'm a bit of a hi-fi nut and in recent years have moved from a CD collection to a ripped digital collection. He still has his vinyl too, though, he says. Yeah, I came across a product called Rune, R-O-O-N, that provides a front end for accessing a digital music collection and integrating this with online streaming services. It sounded like just what I wanted, with cross-referencing across genres, artists, etc., etc., and availability of other materials such as liner notes as well. But I found it totally inaccessible both in its web browser and Apple app incarnations. And I mean totally inaccessible, not a sound from Jaws or VoiceOver.
Oh, yeah.
Rune is created by Rune Labs in the USA, and when I contacted them about this, they intimated that they knew that there were issues with screen readers and hoped to address these in the future. The problem is that they are using a totally bespoke interface, utilizing low-level graphics to render their text using C++ OpenGI, just like a video game might do. Mm. I find it so frustrating that in 2019, with accessibility and inclusivity high on the agenda, that a company would create such a fundamentally inaccessible product. I would have thought that, in the UK anyway, this is an obvious infringement of the Equality Act. That's from Alan.
Mm. You see, the problem is that the companies that are heralding accessibility have got huge amounts of money and resources to throw at it, which is great. Google and Microsoft and Apple have got the resources and the time and the wherewithal to do it. The problem is that smaller developers and smaller creators don't have those resources and struggle to do it.
No. Excuses.
There's a flip side to that.
Let me finish.
We jumped
because
on
what
you.
I was going to say. Yeah, hang on. No, because what I was going to say was, but it's not an excuse. Because actually, as we've heard from many people, including well-renowned people in this field, like Leonie Watson, who has spoken out about this many a time, it's about building accessibility in from the ground up. It's not something that should be brought in as an afterthought or a retrofit or something they'll just add in later, like a feature. It's not a feature.
You saved yourself. Absolutely correct.
It's yes, usability, well done. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree. And see, that sounds like an excellent service as well, being able to, if I understand it right, add your home library to a streaming service. You can access it through that as well. Sounds amazing.
Do you know what it sounds like? It sounds a bit like Plex to me.
It does sound like Plex,
which has some comparisons, because setting up Plex server on a computer is a accessible nightmare. It's the same sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly useful, and the front end to it on iOS and even on the PC, I think, is accessible, but trying to set up the back end of it is virtually impossible. It's so annoying.
And I'm glad the people at Rune said that they are aware that there are accessibility issues about using it with screen readers, and they're looking into it. Hopefully that's just not a line that they're giving. That said, I happen to know that, or I'm told at least, that programming apps with C++ is supposed to be easy and easily able to be made accessible. So if it's a matter of graphics that they're using for different buttons or controls, there are ways. I don't code. I don't know C++, but I'm told that there are ways to label those images properly, those graphics, and to be able to make that accessible. So hopefully, cross our fingers that they do get in there and implement that, because it's not like it's a secret. Apple does not make this a secret. Every single year at WWDC, they have full on seminars and all these kind of things where they talk to developers about how to add accessibility with VoiceOver and other things. So it's available, and it is implemented right there.
That's our show. Andy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you
well
very
done,
much,
Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
I know you didn't get to all the emails. We will get to more of them next week on the show. Thank you so much for getting in touch. We will get to more of your emails next week. Keep them coming in. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. We'll catch you on the next Tech Talk. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.